let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Giant, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up. But let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
God promises to deliver me.
More singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Statues everywhere. Statues of gods, deified heroes of history, poets, magnificent architecture and paintings. Now, these people are not ignorant. Their senses must be entranced by the very beauty and splendor of art. Just to build the temples and sanctuaries would involve untold expense. Victories of armies, deeds of men are commemorated by sculpture, shrines, and tablets. With all their intelligence, talents, and culture, they are ignorant of the true God. Oh, what a pity. Even the marketplace is studded with works of art.
Admiring our city?
Oh, admiring it. And feeling sorry for it, too.
Sorry for Athens? It is the world's center of learning, culture, art, beauty.
Also, I imagine, licentious living.
Oh, we have good times.
World center of learning, I believe you said.
Do you deny that that is true?
Oh, no.
Well, if there's anything you wish to know about anything, ask Athens. Someone here will be able to tell you.
Anything, perhaps, except one thing.
We lack knowledge in one area.
You are ignorant in one area, yes.
Well, I'll have to find out what that area is, if indeed there is one, and then I shall study and become knowledgeable in that area. I must inform you I am a learned man. I am a Stoic philosopher. Who and what are you?
Of myself, I am nobody and know nothing.
Just what I thought, a babbler.
God himself taught me. Through him and his spirit, there is no end to the knowledge I can impart.
Now you interest me. This area in which I am ignorant, what, pray tell, is it?
You, sir, and all of Athens are completely ignorant of the true God.
And which God may that be?
You have an altar in your beautiful city dedicated to him.
We do? Yet we know nothing about him? Ridiculous.
I saw the altar and the inscription thereon. It reads, To the Unknown God.
Ah, yes, you know about the Unknown God.
I do.
Well, if this be true, then there is probably no limit to your knowledge. I shall have to look into this matter. Shall we meet here tomorrow at the same time? I'll have with me other philosophers.
The great men of Athens were not long in learning of the presence in their city of a singular teacher who was setting forth doctrines new and strange.
Fellow philosophers and learned men in all fields of knowledge, I have talked to this man you speak of, and I wish to say that he is knowledgeable in many fields of learning. I would suggest that we invite him to a hearing on Mars Hill. We'll have poets, artists, scholars, and philosophers in all fields present to question the man and judge his merits. Agreed?
But Mars Hill, only important philosophers speak there.
Well, exactly. And this fellow would look out of place there.
He's probably just a nobody babbler trying to set forth some strange, non-existing god.
Well, we will have present knowledgeable men in all fields of learning. It will take them but a few minutes to discover if he is or is not a mere babbler. I must warn you, sir, that the present are the most learned scholars and intelligentsia in the world, and your status as a savant will be discovered in a matter of minutes. I must also warn you that Socrates himself, because he set forth strange gods, was condemned to death. Having told you these things, I now invite you to present your case.
He bears himself well, doesn't seem to be awed by a learned audience.
I told you he was no novice. I have an idea he will match logic with logic, and philosophy with philosophy, and eloquence with eloquence.
You men of Athens, you have asked me to explain certain strange things you have heard, and the new and strange doctrine which I have spoken about to some of you. I perceive, men of Athens, that you are very religious.
He isn't afraid to speak out.
As I have observed your devotions, I noticed an altar with this inscription, To the Unknown God. To the Unknown God. Can it be that with the knowledge of all of you combined, there is one thing of which you know nothing and admit it? A God. An unknown God. In worshipping this God about whom you admit you know nothing, you are worshipping the God whom I represent.
He knows how to attract attention. Even I am now anxious to hear the rest of his presentation.
The God that you call unknown is the God of creation. Your temples, your highways and byways are crowded with statues and idols who have no life. They are controlled by human power. Human hands formed and made them. They move only when the hands of men move them. Therefore, those of you who worship these gods are in every way superior to the gods you worship.
It's logical.
I never thought of it that way.
The God of creation, whom you have styled the unknown God, is a God independent of man, needing nothing from human hands to add to his power and glory. The God of creation made the world and all things therein. The heavens are not large enough to contain God. How much less are temples made by human hands? To borrow an expression of one of your own poets, in him we live and move and have our being, for we are also his offspring.
He seems to have knowledge on all subjects.
Therefore, being the offspring of God, we ought not to think that he can be likened unto gold, silver, or stone, and made into an image of art and man's devices.
Wise men of Athens were carried away with admiration for Paul's earnest and logical presentation of the attributes of the true God, the existence of his overruling providence, and his creative and saving power. Even so, this ended the labor of Paul in Athens. The Athenians preferred to cling to their idolatry, to their corruption, and the pleasures of sin.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
There's crickets and tadpoles, turtles and frogs, down by the creek bank by the old holler log. There's spiders and fireflies, earthworms that crawl, down by the creek bank by the old holler log. God made the animals, both great and small, but I guess my favorite ones of them all are crickets and tadpoles, turtles and frogs, down by the creek bank by the old holler.
On the voice recorder for health class. Teacher wants us to record what we do each day to help make us healthy. Well, today, I went to church. I know. Everyone thinks you get healthy because you eat the right foods or do the right exercises or drink lots of water. Yes, all those things are important, but I've discovered that going to church helps me be healthy too. How? When I go to church, I enjoy all the great music. The organ, the piano, people singing beautiful songs, they're all so peaceful to me. They make me relax and think about God and nature and stuff. When I'm sitting in church or singing with the congregation, I stop worrying about school and homework or about what someone has done to make me mad. Also, I like hearing stories from the Bible. It makes my life seem pretty good. I don't have lions waiting to eat me like Daniel did. I don't have a giant wanting to kill me like David did. And I don't have a bunch of people sneaking around trying to crucify me like Jesus did. Makes me more satisfied with what I have instead of wanting what everyone else has. Finally, I like reading my Bible. Yes, I know. A lot of the Bible is kind of hard to understand. But when I read verses in, say, Psalms or Proverbs, or when I read what Jesus said about loving people and helping those in need, I get some good ideas. His words teach me how to be kind and forgiving and how to stay out of trouble. My Sabbath rest helps me stay healthy all week long.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Magic show. It turned to a snake and it crawled around, but the Pharaoh still told him no, no, no. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses went down to the river Nile and put a stick into the river a while. Now blood would flow where the water used to go, but the Pharaoh still told him no, no, no. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. God sent frogs and bugs and boils and hail from out of the sky. But the Pharaoh says, no, you still can't go. So the firstborn children had to die. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Won't you open for me? Moses led his people out of slavery and marched right through the sea. The Pharaoh sent his army right after the slaves, but his army ended up under the waves. Glug, 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 glug. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Won't you open for me? Oh, won't you open for me?
To hear his message. boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 3, Secret Vows. Maria sat next to Yo-Yo on the bed. Okay, Yo-Yo, repeat after me. I promise to love my sister. I promise to love my sister, Yo-Yo said eagerly. Now you have to say it, Maria. Maria smiled. Okay, I promise to love my sister. Now you repeat, through sickness and in health. Through sickness and health, Yo-Yo said. Maria thought hard for a minute, but she thought she remembered most of what ministers had the bride and groom say. For richer or poorer. Yo-Yo frowned. What's that mean? Maria scratched her head. I guess it means that even if you don't have enough money to buy groceries with, you still love each other. And if you have all the money in the world, you have to spend it together. Okay, for richer or poor, Yo-Yo said. Till death do us part. Till death do us part, Yo-Yo muttered, not liking the sound of those words. What else do people say? I don't think they say anything else, Maria said thoughtfully. I can't remember. Yo-Yo frowned. We should say something else. That last one wasn't very nice. Maria looked at the serious expression on her sister's face. What about making up a vow, she suggested. Yo-Yo nodded. We could say something like, we're not just sisters, we're best friends, and we choose to be friends forever. That's long, Yo-Yo complained, but I like it best. Do I have to repeat it? Maria smiled. No, it's all right if you just think it. Yo-Yo concentrated. Okay, I did, she said. There, Maria said. Now we've said our vows to each other. Mom's voice echoed upstairs. Supper's ready. Maria's stomach answered with a growl. I forgot how hungry I was, she said, and Mom was making my favorite, split pea soup and toasted cheese sandwiches. Come on, let's get our hands washed and get downstairs. Yo-Yo rushed ahead to the bathroom. When Maria got there, she couldn't help but smile. Yo-Yo was chasing the soap bar across the countertop with wet little hands. Can you help me? Yo-Yo asked when she saw Maria. It keeps running away. Maria stuck one finger on the soap bar and held it until Yo-Yo could get her little fingers around it. When Maria finished washing her hands, Yo-Yo handed her the towel. Thank you, Yo-Yo, Maria said. That was very nice of you. Yo-Yo grinned. I like doing nice things for you because you're my favorite sister, she said proudly. She's your only sister, a voice said from the doorway. Yo-Yo whipped around. Maria glanced in the mirror and caught Chris laughing at them. What are you two talking about? Chris asked curiously. Chris hates it when someone has a secret he doesn't know, Maria thought. Well, too bad for him. He's not part of our secret vow. She knew her brother well enough to know that he would start teasing them to find out. Yo-Yo, follow me, she said as she turned and marched out of the bathroom. Chris leaned against the door jamb a moment before standing up straight and chasing after Maria and Yo-Yo. Oh, you're going to ignore me, huh? You two are going to try to pretend like I'm not even here? The girls gave no answer. Well, I'm not going to let you have any dessert, Chris stated, following along behind. The girls said nothing. I'm pretty good at this, Maria thought. Chris can't make me talk if I don't want to, and he can't keep me from having any dessert either. She smiled. Chris paused at the top of the stairs as Maria and Yo-Yo marched down in single file like soldiers. We don't have to talk to Chris if we don't want to, Yo-Yo, Maria told Yo-Yo as if Chris were not even there. No, Maria agreed. We stick together. Finally, Chris started downstairs too. How come you're Maria's best buddy all of a sudden, Yo-Yo? I thought she was mad at you earlier. But Yo-Yo didn't say a word. Maria sat down in her place at the dinner table, and Yo-Yo climbed into her chair. Yo-Yo had just gotten her very own grown-up chair, but she had to sit on her legs. Chris came in and sat down with a frown on his face. You must be thinking of new ways to tease us, Maria thought, keeping her smile to herself. She glanced across the table at Chris, but he was ignoring her just like she was ignoring him. Mr. Vargas asked everyone to hold hands while he asked the blessing. After the blessing was over, he dipped some soup for Yo-Yo. Maria held out her bowl, and Dad dipped some soup for her, too. She reached for the same toasted cheese sandwich that Chris wanted, but she let him have it, and she took another one. That seemed to confuse Chris even more. How could Maria be ignoring him and be nice to him at the same time? The look on his face made Maria smile. "Who is making the wedding cake for Angie and Ben?" Mr. Vargas asked. "Mrs. Wallace," Mrs. Vargas replied. Surprised, Maria looked up. "Is Jenny going to be at the wedding since her mom is baking the cake?" "Why, I don't know, Maria," Mrs. Vargas said. Maria wasn't sure if she wanted Jenny to be at the wedding or not. "After all, I'm going to look out of place. That is, if I decide to go to the wedding. I may not get to be a junior bridesmaid after all," she thought. "Sammy is going to be at the wedding," Chris announced. "He told me today at school." Maria's spoonful of soup accidentally went down the wrong pipe.
What?
She choked. "Why is Sammy going?" Chris grinned. "Because his Uncle Locke is going to be taking wedding pictures." "Oh, no," Maria thought. "I just can't look funny in the wedding with all the shoebox kids there. What am I going to do?" "What's the matter, Maria?" Mrs. Vargas asked. "You look pale. Are you sick?" Maria shook her head. She wasn't sick, not really sick anyway, but she wasn't very happy either. "Mom just doesn't understand," Maria decided. "All I ever wanted to do was wear a long, pretty dress with lace and ruffles. I wanted to look as beautiful as the bridesmaids with their long dresses that touch the floor and make them look like princesses. Instead, my dress will only come to my knees." Suddenly, supper didn't taste so good. "I won't even look like I'm at the right wedding," Maria thought.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.